Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. It's not just Friday. It's follow-up Friday, where we dig a little deeper into something that came up briefly on the show. You might remember that last Friday, leading into Valentine's Day, Brian asked you to finish off the last two lines of the poem, Roses are red, violets are blue. Well, Sam in Astoria wrote, Roses are red, violets are blue. Time to rethink that Obama tattoo. So right now, we're going to take a few minutes to take your calls on tattoo regrets. Do you wish you could have a tattoo take back? How many of you have ink regret? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or post a comment online at WNYC.org. Click on the Brian Lehrer Show or post something on our Facebook page. Joining me now to talk body ink, why we tattoo, and what it indicates about our culture and ourselves is Victoria Pitts Taylor, sociology professor at the City University of New York. Welcome to WNYC, Victoria.
Hi, Jamie.
You sure have a fun field.
Isn't it great?
It really is. So are tattoos like other trends, popularity, aesthetics, the meaning of getting tattooed, do they indicate something about the larger culture?
Yes, definitely. We can say that tattoos really reached a renaissance in the early 1990s, just when the body became really a focus of significant and intense cultural attention. So we had been seeing a kind of alternative health movements and the workout movement, you know, and aerobics and all that was on the rise, and bodybuilding was on the rise. And in about early 1990s, we began noticing that tattoos were achieving a renaissance. Now, tattoos used to signify, in the West at least, a kind of outsider status. They were often undertaken by sailors and folks that considered themselves in some way outside the mainstream. But as we saw in the last two decades, tattoos became a kind of fashion statement. However, as we know, they're permanent. And so it was a different kind of fashion statement than just changing your hairstyle.
And when you say used to, are you talking about when you talk about the sailors, et cetera, are you talking about the 50s? The 40s?
Yeah, well, tattoos have been around a lot longer than that. As everybody probably knows by now, they're ancient, and societies all over the world have been practicing tattooing for millennia. But in the West, we saw the rise of tattoos slowly over the 19th and early 20th century. And then about the 50s, they started really getting popular among bikers and sort of other kinds of folks we might consider outlaws. So it really wasn't until the end of the 20th century when we saw tattoos being adopted by a lot of women, a lot of professionals, and folks that really didn't consider themselves particularly rebellious.
Let's take a call from Natasha in Rockland County. You're on WNYC.
Yes, hi there. Speaking of bikers and tattoo regrets, as a teenager in the 60s, I had met a biker who, when he would have a new girlfriend, would tattoo her name on his arm, and when the romance kind of dwindled away, his solution to tattoo regret was having a coffin tattooed on top of the name of the last girlfriend.
That's so interesting. I think it shows how tattoos can really operate as kind of visual biographies of the self. So, you know, you can kind of look at a heavily tattooed person in a way as it's kind of a map to a certain kind of narrative about their life.
Yeah, and we have a Facebook post that says, never, they are who I am, no regrets. And one post that says, I regret that I didn't get more tattoos when I was younger. Does that count? Of course, it was illegal all over the place. Back in the day, I had to go to Rhode Island to get my first one without breaking the law. What about that, Victoria? Illegality. I'd forgotten about that. I guess it was illegal.
That's right. And still to this day, minors can't get tattooed in the majority of states, of course. And face tattooing is illegal in two states that I found, Rhode Island and South Carolina. So there's still a lot of regulation around tattooing, but it used to be illegal in many places to get a tattoo at all, even for an adult. And so that really added to this sort of charge of rebellion, or this kind of this sense that getting a tattoo was really something that sort of marked you outside the mainstream. But that person who posted on Facebook reflects I think a widespread sentiment among people who are heavily tattooed or who are consider themselves serious tattoo enthusiasts, which is that even if you sort of change your mind about your aesthetics or you no longer are dating that person or you change your politics or whatever, the tattoo is there to stay, and it sort of signifies a certain kind of commitment to a style and an identity.
Let's take a call from John, Long Island City. John, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have, I think it's either 16 or 17 tattoos on my
You've
body.
You've lost count. That's amazing.
Well, I just got a new one the other day, and it's so I love it. And I love all of my tattoos except for one, which is a skull and crossbones on my forearm. And I got it when I was 16 years old, and I thought I was going to be a punk for the rest of my life. That turned out not to be true. And every morning I wake up and I look at this thing, and all I can think about is what I'm going to cover it up with. But, you know, and I really do love tattoos, and I should say that I'm even engaged to a tattoo artist. But
smart thinking, John.
that's useful.
You know, it's not the only reason we're engaged, believe me, but it really is awesome. I just don't know what to do about this one tattoo.
Let me ask you this, John, because I think you're a really fascinating case of someone who doesn't just have one or two tattoos and then no longer wants to be tattooed, but you're a heavily tattooed person who regrets just one tattoo. So I'm interested to know, would you consider getting it taken off by a dermatologist with a laser?
I would never do that.
Right, exactly. That's what I suspected. That would cross the line, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
John.
I would cover it up.
Right.
But I would never get it removed because I did make a commitment, even if it was foolish at the time. And you know, I might come to regret another one of my tattoos here or there. Like I have 5 subway tokens for the 5 boroughs, and I'm starting to really hate New York. you know, I've been here my whole life, but I'm really starting to hate the place. So I don't know what I'm going to do if I become a full-blown ex-New Yorker. But, you know, it really, each tattoo is a part of me. And, you know, there's some parts of all of us that we don't necessarily like.
John, was the skull and crossbones, I think we may have lost John. I do wonder, Victoria, if that was his first tattoo. John, are you still with us?
Yeah, it was my second tattoo. The first one I'd gotten with just a needle and thread, and a friend gave it to me. It's a drunken flower. It was a symbol for a band called Beer Garden.
Mm. Fascinating. You know, there is, and I wonder, Victoria, if you know much about this, the less permanent tattoo ink.
Yes, yeah.
That has been developed in the last couple of years, more easily removed, supposedly.
Right.
I wonder what you think that will do to tattoo culture and whether people like John would even be open to using a less permanent ink.
I think it's going to divide tattoo culture maybe even more now than it is already, because people who get tattoos are really diverse, but they're kind of, you can kind of see quite committed people who want to trade their skin in a sense, like John, who's already on number 17. And then there are folks who really have a different aesthetic and want something really subtle and, you know, and just kind of something maybe hideable. So I think the temporary tattoo ink is only going to appeal to those people who see it as more of a fashion statement. But hardcore committed tattoo artists and tattooees like John are probably not going to go for the temporary ink.
It's fascinating what you say about the divide within tattoo culture. Let's take a call from Zara in Newark. Tell us your experience.
I have 3 tattoos that I seriously, seriously regret getting when I was a teenager, and I've been working for the last few years on having them removed with laser treatments. And it's coming along, but it's a slow, painstaking process. Painstaking, literally. It's extremely painful.
More painful than the tattoos themselves were?
Much, much, much worse.
And slower,
much
right,
worse.
Zara? Much slower. And much slower.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Right.
Terrible.
So Zara might have been one of those people, if it had been available at the time, that probably should have gotten the, we're calling it temporary ink. It's really not temporary. It doesn't wash off, but it comes off much faster with lasers, you know, instead of all of these successive treatments as one treatment, a lot less painful and that kind of thing.
Zara, why do you regret it so much?
Well, for one reason, I get attention that I don't really want to get. Like, for instance, I was at the grocery store one day, and some drunk, tattooed-up guy came up to me. He was like, oh, hey, nice tat. And, you know, I was just like, oh, man, just leave me alone. I'm trying to buy some milk, you know. And also, quite frankly, when you go out to a nice dinner or to a wedding or something and you're dressed up really nicely in a fancy dress, it looks really trashy.
So you feel it doesn't represent who you are. Let me come back to you, Victoria Pitts Taylor, sociology professor at CUNY, and let's talk a little bit about the culture, and it sounds as though really differing cultures in 2010. I mean, really, you'd have a hard time finding a chef who works, say, in a locally sourced sustainable restaurant in Brooklyn without visible tattoos, right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the most recent statistic I just read says that something like 36% of people between the ages of 18 and 29 have tattoos, and almost 25% of people between the ages of 18 and 50 have tattoos. So this is, you know, this is no longer a tiny minority of people.
But there are some industries, really, or subcultures where it's kind of weird not to have a tattoo.
Absolutely. It's kind of the requisite fashion statement for some sectors of the population.
And then the difficulty is, of course, the permanence of it, because as the culture changes, you may not be able to change that statement you've made, say, two,
right,
three, 5 years ago.
It's the great irony of a tattoo as a fashion statement. It works as a fashion statement because it's permanent. It says something a little different than a hairstyle or a dress or, you know, a new pair of boots.
Or even a piercing,
right. So the permanence gives it that charge of something being extra special and maybe edgier. And, of course, ironically, fashion always changes. That's what makes it fashion. And so it will pass. The fad will pass. So tattooing really is appealing to lots and lots of people, but probably should be considered pretty carefully if you're not a diehard tattoo fan.
You've written a lot about body image, cosmetic surgery. Do you think there's a lot of regret when it comes to people manipulating their bodies? What's that about?
I think there's a wide mix of people who absolutely love what they've done with their bodies and people who hate what they've done with their bodies and people who are sort of accommodating to what they're doing. And I think that's inevitable. All of these technologies, and I think tattooing and cosmetic surgery really aren't that different. They're both technologies of modifying the body in permanent ways that are meant to express something about the person's identity. And there's no way that people are going to, that 100% of people are going to be able to do that and then enjoy the results forever. It simply is impossible.
Well, you certainly have a fascinating field of study. I think I'm going to come down and audit one of your classes.
Fantastic. You're welcome anytime.
And display all of my tats and cosmetic surgery.
Excellent.
In one full-blown
Fantastic.
Session.
Fantastic.
Victoria Pitts Taylor is a sociology professor at the City University of New York. She helped us to explore tattoo regrets and pride here on the Brian Lehrer Show on Follow Up Friday. We have a comment from Tyler in Manhattan. I think it's a good way to end. Tyler writes, I am a proud Canadian and have a tattoo of a maple leaf on the middle of my back. I have always loved it and will never regret it. And we think today it's appropriate to go out on the famous Edith Piaf song, Non je ne regrette rien. Forgive my French, but it means no, I regret nothing. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer, and Brian will be back on Monday. The Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Paige Cowett, and Alan Smith. We had an intern help today from Rachel Senator, Chuni Chian, and Amanda Riesman. The senior producer is Megan Ryan. That's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Brian is back on Monday. Have a good weekend. Allumer le feu.
n'ai plus besoin